good to go.
Order tonight, August 19th. Oop, correction. Looked at the wrong piece of paper. August 26th, if everybody would rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to welcome everybody out there in the audience, all three of you. Let's see. We're going to move something around here on the agenda tonight. We're going to take item number 9.1 and move it up prior to the fire chief's report. This is our director appointment. It is the discussion possible action reference appointment of board member to fill open seat. We have Mr. Tim McCain with us tonight up here at the front table, and he's been the only applicant for the position thus far. You lucky fella. So I would like to entertain a motion to bring Mr. Tim McCain on board as a director.
In that, Mr. Tim McCain become member of the Board of Directors of the Arizona City Fire District.
Okay, thank you, Betty. And we are recording our minutes for the first time as far as the only type of minutes to be on record. So Betty Harding made the motion, and we'll try to keep the minutes up to date as far as who's making key motions and that kind of thing, if you would. Do we have a second?
So moved.
Mr. Brady seconds the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And also for the record, Mr. Jim Leary is absent tonight due to health reasons. As indicated, we still have a quorum with three board members and now the fourth member present. So we are in good shape, ready to rock and roll. Tim, congratulations.
Thank you.
And we'll all do our very best to lead you down the straight path. We've all learned some lessons here and there and over the past couple of years or so. And we continue to learn as we go, so it's pretty good deal.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Chief report. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, sir.
I was going to ask about that.
My goodness.
If you stand up, Mr. McCain. So as a Arizona City Fire District Board member, you have to take the oath first for the state of Arizona. So if you'd raise your right hand, please, and repeat after me. I state your name.
I state your name.
I'm Tim McCain.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and laws.
And the Constitution and laws.
Of the state of Arizona.
Of the state of Arizona.
And I will bear true faith.
And I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
And defend them against all enemies.
And defend them against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
And I will faithfully.
And I will faithfully.
And impartially discharge.
And impartially discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
Of governing board member.
Of governing board member.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability. So help me God.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Pepper will notarize this for you. Let me get it all done today. Okay. The official will get it into the county.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, Fire Chief's Report, Chief Heaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Everybody has a copy of the Fire Chief's Report. This is for, August of 2015. Number one, two additional new hires have started with our district. Both are paramedic firefighters and are currently working at neighboring fire departments and or districts. Number two, the recruiting campaign. We are currently recruiting another four paramedic firefighters. They're in a recruitment process now. We'll hopefully have that completed by the board meeting next month. We're just waiting on a few fingerprints to come back. Number three, the certification of need or the CON efforts continue. With that, we're building our paramedic manpower to support that endeavor. We first have to have enough paramedics on board to be able to do that. And my meetings continue with both Eloy, Casa Grande, and the Superstition Fire Medical Districts, and we met on that last night as well. Number four, engine 566 and engine 568 had their transmission service during the month of August. This was the first transmission service of that equipment since we've owned it. What started this, as I was looking through it, is engine 566 we've had almost 10 years, engine 568 almost 9 years. We have never serviced the transmission in those units, and as I was doing a more thorough investigation, it was reported to me that we had antifreeze in our transmission, which would have meant there was a cooler issue in engine 566. The cooler runs through the middle of the radiator, and it would have meant we had antifreeze in our transmission, which ruins all the seals that Mr. Brady's well aware of. So we were able to tow that vehicle up on a flatbed. What we found out, that was just the fluid was broken down, so it appeared to have the same foam that antifreeze in ATF transmission fluid Dextron 2 would have. So we serviced both of those. Again, it's the first time we've had those transmission serviced. We now have them on a service transmission cycle of every 3 years. The thing that a lot of people are looking at here is just total mileage. Well, we run our equipment every single day. When we run that equipment, the transmission is turning. So mileage is only one indicator of things we need to do. We need to look at total service hours as well. So we now have a procedure that's going to do that for us to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. And it's going to apply to the other vehicles as well. Number five, the district training for the month was on our self-contained breathing apparatus and was conducted by FTC Incorporated, which is our factory vendor from which we purchased our original ISI unit for. And this training was really mandatory for each member and was scheduled as a follow-up from the comments that we've had in previous meetings that identified weaknesses. If you remember, the hydros were out on the bottles, the inspections were out on the bottles. So this now is in our training schedule to come across. So it's really for previously identified weaknesses in our district and also weaknesses within our training program. Number six, I attended the Pinellas County Fire Chiefs Association meeting on July 21st, and progress continues on rescinding Prop 117. I attended a meeting last night with the governor and lieutenant governor on that. Of the 155 special fire districts in the state of Arizona, 70% are at the 325 cap. So that's the current cap that's in place. So there's an effort on behalf of the Pinellas County Fire Chiefs and the state of Arizona Fire Chiefs Association to rescind Prop 117. I'll continue to update you on that as we move forward. Number seven, the AT&T contract. Again, negotiations for a completely new contract with AT&T continue. AT&T's legal counsel is drafting a new potential contract version. I will caution everybody on the board that AT&T is starting to spread the message to Arizona City that they're going to get off our tower and go to Coolidge. My response to that is good luck. Let me know how that works. So it's a stalling technique to get us to take a lower contract limit amount. So we're going to stay strong. There's no way they can service Arizona City from Coolidge. There's not a tower in Coolidge that AT&T has. So they're just posturing to see if they can get us to accept the lower term. So we're not going to do that. We're going to wait and see where it goes from there. Number eight, I did find a buyer for the Cricket equipment on our tower. If you remember, Cricket merged with AT&T in front of that family. I was able to negotiate $10,000 closure on that for us. And I believe I'm going to get $10,000 for this company to come take the equipment off because they want to purchase it. We're just waiting to get that done. I'm cautious on this negotiation because I want insurance if they damage or hurt themselves on a dram shop insurance, not only themselves and their equipment, but if they strike some of the other equipment we have on the tower, either from Airbeam or Verizon, that they're responsible for that as well. Number nine. The emergency generator project with Airbeam is ongoing. This would provide complete station power if we experience a power outage. I'm currently working with Airbeam on the submitted plans for feasibility. The concern I have is still with the Environmental Health Department. If they're going to consider a belly tank, an underground storage tank, we have some additional liability. We also have some insurance ability from that as well. So I met with Greg today from Airbeam. He said if we do incur more cost, he will pay that cost for us. So I just need a definitive answer from Pinellas County Environmental Health Department to ensure what the legislation is going to make us require from this belly tank. And if this belly tank does constitute an on-site storage tank, then what our insurance company is going to charge us to raise our insurance premiums with. Again, that cost is $36,000. Airbeam is willing to cover that cost for us and just take it out of what they pay us every year if we want, and repay us from that topic as well.
Can I speak to that with a question?
Absolutely.
Who's going to be responsible for that? Is it going to be a maintenance contract? Do we know that? Has that been ironed out?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's in the contract itself that they've submitted. They're leasing this, and there's a lease company that's going to maintain it all. It's a Caterpillar generator, and there's a national company that they've vetted with to maintain all the hourly runs on a monthly basis. And there's two biannual service runs that have to be done. And that's all part of that service agreement within that $36,000. And what it is 80% of the power is needed by Airbeam to continue this fiber optics business that they're trying to. And they know with the power outages they have and inconsistent power, they need that. The 20% really covers beyond what our station needs will be. So it's just a shared responsibility. But they will maintain all PMs and cap is on that unit going forward. Their responsibility is
that's
the contract.
Company. Okay. That's to correct. Include, if it's Tier 4 compliant, they'll handle the depth servicing and removal.
Exactly. They'll do all that. So. Number 10, our timekeeping software again. The automated timekeeping scheduling software we implemented at Adeltech has been in service since July 1st. And as of August 1st, we eliminated all the paper process on timesheets. So the pen and paper is gone. The automated time clock, which replaced our manual-driven paper process, is working very well. Just a little training issues at the beginning. But again, the software eliminates numerous hours spent by multiple staff members every month trying to make sure we had timekeeping done correctly. And number 11, the district, along with the association, participated in the first ever spaghetti dinner on August 22nd, this past Saturday. We served over 140 meals and collected roughly $1,628. Entertainment was provided free of charge by a local resident that's just moved in, and comments overall were very positive, and our next spaghetti dinner is scheduled for September 26th. So on that, really, out of that $1,628 that we purchased, we bought almost $690 worth of supplies, but I would say we have at least 80% of that left. So our profit margin going forward is going to be much greater. For example, we bought 13 boxes of pasta, and we still have 10 and a half boxes left. So our yield will be even greater next time. Comments overall are pretty positive. Everybody liked the entertainment, liked the music. The local entertainment group that did the costumes, the name escapes me right now.
Excuse me, as a woman.
I'll have it for next one. But anyway, they do all the community events, and they dressed up. They had a minion. They brought out. Kids loved it. Matter of fact, I think it's in the paper.
Makes
that what it is? Thank you. Makes kids smile. Thank you, Tim. So that was helpful. So, and we did the fire drill that I'll talk about here in number 12. I'll do this first. Part of the fire drill today that we'll talk about, number 12, the principal at ACES, her and her husband and her band, and they've already asked us if they can play for free on September 26th. So that's pretty good, I think, that people are calling us asking to play at the event. So that's pretty good. And with the fire drill, again, we had it today with ACES. We're going to do one every month. We had seven district members attend the drill, and I'm creating a fire prevention learning opportunity for us to participate with ACES, and we will conduct these on a monthly events going forward. One tremendous opportunity for us moving forward is we spent about $240 last year on fire prevention materials. $240 out of a $1.3 million budget. Pretty sad, to say the least. So I set up with the principal today that we're going to meet with them on a monthly basis outside the fire drill for things like mentoring on the schoolyard, reading at the library, career days, application days for challenging students, and then we're going to do a focused third grade program. National statistics have proven third grade is where we get our biggest impact for fire prevention material. So we're going to work with the third grader specifically, but we're going to work through K through 8 to move forward with this. The nice thing is with Cambridge School going away, we have some free space we can utilize over there, show people different activities versus that first week of October and missing a large percentage of the fire drills. We're going to resource to be at every single one because that's important. That's how important it is to us, to me. And it will drive this forward with this continuing program. So it's pretty exciting. So we'll spend way more than $240 this year on fire prevention.
Awesome. Quick question for you. Is there any kind of a need for juvenile flyer sitter program?
Absolutely. Two things came up out of this week in the spaghetti dinner. One, we don't have a fire arson investigation program in the county that we're going to drive forward with it. And we don't have a junior fire program. Here's new interest this weekend from mothers that attended spaghetti dinner that really are looking for a fire cadet program to move forward for 16, 17-year-old program. So I'm going to take that as a personal challenge to put that together.
Now, the fire cadet program, is that sponsored through the Boy Scouts still?
No.
No?
No, the Boy Scouts dropped it, unfortunately.
They did drop it.
Yeah. So you can take one through Cabot. The city of Casa Grande has one, but they're all standalone programs. National letters on that through the United States Boy Scouts has actually been dissipated because of funding.
That's too bad.
So we'll work with that to get it in. I think we have some good opportunities, and we're going to do that in addition to twice a month at ACES going forward.
Questions? Comments?
I think the association did a fantastic job with the spaghetti dinner. Saw a lot of smiling faces out there. Everybody seemed to be pretty happy with it, and it was excellent. So,
yeah, you know, I don't want to
see that change.
No, I think it was really good. And there's two things I think came up, and I don't want to speak on behalf of the association, so please add. One was we've never done a dinner event other than, you know, you could sit down and get a dinner and a show. I heard a lot of those people, and it's a good chance to come out. We not only did that, but we had Pinal County Gila River Aging Senator with Carol was there as well. We had the YMCA pre-diabetes geriatric program there as represented. We had the medication safes there as well to support that. The Boys and Girls Club had a table set up, which is coming up in September, that we do our car wash and pancake breakfast for them. So we had an opportunity to meet with the Carol, came from Triad and took flyers through and asked people, what can we do? What are things that are missing in the county? And one of the biggest things that came through were dinner type events. For the association, you know, it was an event that didn't take as long as the pancake breakfast or near the amount of work to wash these cars. And we didn't have that long event to it. So, you know, I think we started assembling here around 3-4 o'clock, and by 8 o'clock, the money was counted and we were done. We probably could have been done much sooner. We just cooked too much food, not knowing what we needed. So, you know, if we can make $1,628 per event, knowing we've got another 5,000 residents to come in, that's the most amount of money the association has ever had from a single event that I'm aware of.
How is it that we ended up with...
Well, I think some portion controls were a little light, so we're going to adjust that going forward, and we... From the pasta, I think the serving portion, you were at the meeting, buddy, so you know too. I mean, it's 2 ounces as a serving portion, and we went up to 8 ounces as a serving portion. I think we're probably around 3 or 4 ounces for a serving portion. 6 ounces.
You're pretty lucky, because if you've got food over, left over, you're doing good.
Yeah.
Because if you run short, you wish you'd never got there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a plus.
And the other reason we had food left over is we saw the buzz last week of how many people were talking. On Friday night, we purchased extra 200 people just in case, but that food was supposed to bake and not be cooked. And so, you know, we're able to save it all. We froze it. It's not a big deal. That's where the other
lumber, too, you never know.
It was an unknown.
So the steak that I told you we're going to have to purchase will be...
Very little we have to purchase for the...
That's exciting through that standpoint for us. And again, too, with getting our 501c3 that Pepper and I are working on now with the work that the board's done, specifically Betty with bylaws. Our last meeting, we did bylaws, mission statement, vision statement, value statement. We actually checked the box on 5 big things that the group was struggling with. So great, you know, kudos to the association for driving that. But now we can go through and get that. And the big thing for us is those $8,000 fireworks we buy every year become $4,000 with a 501c3. Wow. It's a lot easier to get with 1628 on events monthly to $4,000 than $8,000, plus the fly-in Santas, plus the adopt-a-families and these other things that we want to do on the prevention side. So it just makes it easier. It's a huge bolus of work for Pepper and myself to get that done in the work of the association. But if we get that done, get some more members in, you know, Dean has volunteered to step up and help. He has been stepping up and helping, I should say, but helping in the meetings as well. you know, and we have entertainment, again, that's volunteering their time to come because they've heard good things about it. Had a couple comments, the portions were a little light, but, you know, it's the same people that say Nico's makes small burritos. And I don't know about you guys, but I have never gotten a small burrito from Nico's. So, you know, and I always say, if 99% is good, we'll focus on that and we'll adjust the portions. We're going to balance now to maybe do some seconds available, but no take-home, please. But, you know, there was a group of bikers that came in from Avra Valley that had heard about it, so...
Yeah, I saw them before I got here. I thought that was pretty nifty.
Pretty exciting.
I bet you. Anytime we get bikers to a food event, you know it's going to be good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But again, kudos to the association for it off. We have the Boys and Girls Club Pancake Breakfast Car Wash on the 19th of September, and we're going to follow up with the association event on...
Are they going to be needing help, or do they have the staff to do the...
Which, on the Boys and Girls Club? They'll need a little bit. But we'll try to fund that from the district side, because that's really, truly not the association side. I think we'll be all right, but we may lean on some of our people, you know, to help us to know what's going on. So that's all I have on the Chief's Report.
Great. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, everybody else. Again, just a reminder, we are recording this, so everybody try to speak up so we can get you on the mic. Next one would be staff reports. Number one, month-end report for EMS fire calls July 2015, and number two, EMS fire response times for July.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So again, from July 1st to July 31st, we ran a total of 115 incidents that made the NIFRS report. That's right behind tab number 5. Of those 115, three fell into the fire federal categories. One was a fire outside a structure, and two were fires in brush, grass, wildland, etc. for there. So of those 115, 102 were rescue and medical emergency events that fit the ambulance EMS rescue criteria, and 10 were all others, which included smoke scares, lockouts, animal rescues, smoke in the area, that type of thing, or potential lightning strikes. So if you'll flip to the back of that page, this is the injury reports that are the nature of the most serious injuries, which is on the back of that next page there. We had zero criteria that met those, so there's no injuries, and year to date we're at zero as well. And then on the next page, this is of the 115 calls that we had, so it's really 112 EMS calls. Of those 112, 103 fit the response categories, and you'll see how those 103 are broken down. So under total, you'll see the 103, and you'll see one was a treated transport, which was BLS, one treated transport that met the categories of ALS, the treated and transfer care category was 77, the treated transfer care was 1, patient refusals were 22, and we had one that we found no patient, for a total of 103 incidents for the month of July. And the last page is our fractile response time. Remember, our goal is to be at less than 5 minutes for 90% of our calls. Again, of those 103 runs that made the NIFRS reporting cycle, we looked at that 90% fractile response time was 6 minutes and 5 seconds, so we're slightly above that. Our highest response time was 22 minutes. And our average response time was 4 minutes and 32 seconds. So a couple things happened during the month of July. You'll see that highest response time at 22 minutes, that was a breakdown on rural metros dispatching. They didn't catch us in time. But unfortunately, on the federal paperwork, you have to write down what the response is. If you remember, I keep talking about the issues we're having with rural metro dispatching. This is one of them that they're missing our calls coming out. So we've documented that in our response time. The other unique thing was three times during the month of July, we had back-to-back-to-back calls within 2.5 minutes of each other. We're good on the first one. We're okay on the second one. The third one, we start to struggle. So that's why I've added that third and fourth person to the response. Now, we take two pieces of equipment. 86% of our calls are back-to-back. So that means as soon as we're going out the door, within 2.5 minutes, we're going to get another call 86% of the time. So we're just ramping that up, and 33% of our calls are back to back to back. So it's important to have that third and fourth person in the station. Even doing that, you'll see that our average response time is 4 minutes and 32 seconds, which is awesome. And unfortunately, what happens is if you get on that first, let's say, a domestic or assault call and you're staged, and then a heart attack goes out, by law, I cannot pull that unit out of staging because they have responded to a call. If I have to do an all call and someone's having a full rest, I'm looking at 17 to 19 minutes. Now, I can leave one BLS unit in staging, pull the other unit and go straight to that call, and I'm still making it under 5 minutes, which is what our goal was 90% of the time. We're doing that 100% of the time. So that's the advantageous part of having that third and fourth person in the station. And by watching our other spending, watching our non-value-added spending that we've done in the past, we're able to keep that under a budget. We ended July at only 7% spend of our budget. Now, we know there's some outliers on there, the building payment, the truck payment that'll go up, but we're still running about 7%. Next month will probably be about 11 because I added that fourth and fifth training spot on. As I'm bringing in these new medics, I've got to train them, which means I have to merge up two medics. And if I bring a third medic, then it's another day we'll have five people. My goal is to get to four so I can leave two at the first call, two at the second call. When we get that third call, the first unit will decide whether they can go to the third call, and I'll swing through and pick it up, and we'll hopscotch those calls out from there. So we're covering it that way, and we can do it with four people. We can't do it with two people. So that's the advantageous part of having that third and fourth person. We left on Monday, and before the rescue hit the apron, we had a second call. And they were both ALS calls. With those two medics, I split the medics, and we were able to go to both calls. Then we got a support call for a psychological check here at PCSO station. So I grabbed one of the EMTs from the first ALS call, and we went through and we did that call. So we covered three calls within 5 minutes. So that part's pretty exciting to go forward with. And that's all I have on the monthly reports.
Oh, that's terrific. Any questions? Comments? All right, next item is correspondence. Do we have any correspondence? No correspondence. Okay, we'll move on to consent agenda. All the items under the consent agenda will be approved under one motion unless one of the governing board members pulls an item for further discussion. Are there any comments or questions regarding consent agenda? I hear none. Do we have a motion? Approved?
Sure. Make a motion to approve it. Agenda items.
Okay.
Consent agenda items.
Very good. Mr. Brady made a motion to accept the consent agenda. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Betty Harding second the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right, item number 8 or 9, whichever way you want to look at it, it's a call to the public. Do we have anybody out in the audience that would care to speak to the board? No one? Okay. We'll move on to the next item, which will go into new business. Item number 1 is discussing possible action reference bylaws addition, board members' code of conduct. And that should be found in your number 10 tab. This is a draft, as it's indicated, draft of a bylaw addition. The title is Arizona City Fire Board Members Code of Conduct. The body reads, the Arizona City Fire Board members shall submit any and all fire district administration and or operational issues or questions directly to the fire chief. Submissions shall be through the chain of command. All board initiations shall be through the board chairman. If the board chairman is unavailable, the board clerk and or other board members, based on their seniority with the Arizona City Fire District, may contact the fire chief. The day-to-day operations and administration of the Arizona City Fire District are the responsibility of the fire chief. The Arizona City Fire District Board and its members are responsible for the fiduciary oversight of the Arizona City Fire District. Flagrant interference with the operations and or the administration of the Arizona City Fire District may be cause for censure and or other forms of discipline to the Arizona City Fire District board members. I wanted to just bring this out to you to kind of get your comments, see if it's something we actually should incorporate within the board bylaws. For more of a clarification point than anything. Would anybody like to discuss this? Any comments?
concerns? Eddie, you look like you're deep in thought here.
No, I think you cut it a great deal.
Is it appropriate?
Appropriate. Why wouldn't it be?
Well, that's my question. I felt after, you know, things that this board has gone through in the past, that at least it paves the way for any future board members as they go through the bylaws to understand exactly what our role is. I don't think there's been a very clear definition in the past. My experiences over the years have been where many, many board members of different boards have taken it upon themselves to become involved in operations, and it's a real fine line. And hopefully from this point on, and we've done, I think, a pretty fair job with our new chief of trying to separate that. But as I indicated, I think it is a need for an addition to the bylaws, and I'd like to entertain or have somebody entertain a motion to approve that, if you're so willing to do so. Have any questions on that?
No, I mean, reading through that, it makes it clear on what our responsibilities are as board members and Commerce Board, and having a board myself at the church, I appreciate actually that type of thing. These guidelines aren't there for what they're responsible for. I would make a motion to approve that bylaw.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor from Tim McCain to approve the bylaw addition and take it out of the draft mode. Do we have a second to the motion? Betty Harding seconded the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, it's a doggone shame we had to do that.
It is.
To actually put a bylaw in. The folks sitting at this table are not the crew. The chief handles that, and he does a good job. It's a shame we had to do that, but it's there. I appreciate it.
Good. Thank you, Steve. Okay, item number two, discussion, possible action reference, board member election / appointment. And this is another one that I brought. I sat down and tried to figure out where we all stood within our elected terms. And, you know, we've had, unfortunately, one of our members pass away back in June of 2014. So therefore, I stepped into that position to fill the remainder of Mr. Eastwood's term. But I wanted to kind of put something down on paper to see if that in fact made sense and would give everybody on the board some idea of the chronology, if nothing else, of where we were. The chief indicated to me that it doesn't logically make sense, and he's absolutely correct. It doesn't make sense to me either. But as near as we can determine, it looks like all of us will be up for re-election in 2016.
Is that not against the, we're not supposed to be going?
We're supposed to be stair-step between two-year and four-year terms. My understanding is with the way the evolution of our vacancy and refilling positions goes, as far as I know, legally, we're okay. Yes?
Would be
okay, you need to come up and speak up, Pepper, for the microphone, please, so we have your comments.
Tim is refilling Mama's spot.
Right.
And she ran in 2014 again, and so her Tim will be here with us until 2014.
So to that point,
it all better get
elected. If you read under Donna White on that first page, I broke this down for the chairman to kind of go through, and we went through it in. And again, that's why my comments are on there. I probably should have moved that to my apologies.
No, that's all right.
I just didn't think it was in this copy. But if you look at Donna's, maybe if we could, would you mind if I run through, Mr. Chairman?
No, I'd love to have you do that, sir.
So Board Chairman Bailey was on a two-year term. He was elected on 11 of 2012. That term ran from 12 of 2012 to 12 of 2014. This appointment then filled the vacancy, so this is a motion in motion, according to the county, filled the vacancy of Dave Eastwood's remaining term. And that term was effective at the 6/20/2014 meeting, so the June 2014 meeting. So board, at that board meeting. So the remaining term runs from June of 2014 to December of 2016. So that's one that's up at the December of 2016 meeting, which didn't logically make sense, but that's how y'all did it, so I'm going with that. Diane Wright's was a two-year term, was elected on November of 2012. That term ran from 12 of 2012 to 12 of 2014, and the term was fulfilled by board member Wright, and then she exited the board. Dave Eastwood ran on a four-year term. He was elected at the November of 2012 meeting, and that term ran from December of 2012 to December of 2016. The term was unfortunately vacated in June of 2014 due to the death of board member Eastwood. So it gets a little convoluted. Donna Wyatt, so that's one issue we have kind of pending open from there. Donna Wyatt was a four-year term. She was elected on August of 2014, mid-term, so we're still legal. The appointment began off-cycle mid-term due to an open position on 8/14 to fill the vacancy created by board member Bailey when board member Bailey assumed board member Eastwood's role. So now we have a three-way split. Board member Bailey then assumed the vacated term and position of board member Eastwood on 12/2014 on cycle, but board member Wyatt ran unopposed off cycle with her term beginning on 12/2014, non-voted on November 2014, but she runs to December of 2018. But then board member Wyatt resigned off cycle July 15, 2015. So then Mr. Brady is assuming a four-year term that's ending on 12 of 2016 because that's how we posted it. Board member Brady was appointed to fill the open term by a vacant board member on March of 2015 that remained open for several months. So board member Brady ran unopposed with his term beginning on March of 2015 but ending on 12 of 2016. So where's Mississippi?
That's what I understood.
That's correct.
That's when now, Wright applied right. Or put my letter in.
Absolutely. So that's what's documented in minutes. Board member Harding was a four-year term elected on November of 2012, and her term runs from December of 2012 to December of 2016. The cleanest thing we have going is Betty. Mr. Leary, our board member Leary, was another four-year term, elected on 11 of 2012, but that term runs from 12 of 2012 to 12 of 2016, but is convoluted with a censure and a demotion of that office in there, so it's open to non-petition, meaning he cannot run again unless this board allows him to do that because of his demotion and censuring for unethical behavior. Okay. Now, Mr. McCain is going to assume, per board chairman tonight, that open four-year term of resigned member Wyatt, so his departure is going to, or his term will run from tonight, so 8 of 2015 through 12 of 2018. So the point is we only really have one member that's not going to run for general election in our 2016 voting cycle. So the idea is you always have 2 year and 4 year with our board of five. You want to try to split that 3-2. Unfortunately, with the resignations, death that we had a board member, and the assumption of roles with the rule of three in there, Bill for Dave, Donna for Dave, vacated spot over, and then an open with board member Brady coming in, we have four of our five roles have to go through election in November of 2016.
Very good. Chief, thank you so much for the overview. That helps us out there.
So if I may, I would like to implore that four of you do not exit the board in 2016, if all possible. Nothing against Mr. Board Member McCain, but it's going to be tough for him to be successful and myself if all four of you decide to not run again in 2016.
Well, if all four of us run again, are we running for a two-year term or a four-year term?
That will be up to the board. You can decide. I would highly recommend to do a two-year for at least two, if not three, of those positions. Right. Otherwise, we're going to face the same thing in 2018.
Yep.
Now, the challenge of that is, if you run for re-election in 2016 and you just want a two-year term, when is your term up? 12 of 2018. So we're just going to have to get creative in how we do that. So we're just in a pickle now. There's a way out, but we can do a couple two-year terms and maybe go for the balance of that.
If I can speak to the floor, is there any way that the board can extend a two-year or an exiting member the term, like on an assumption or something like that, because you moved into one, and I intended to look at that, but I was looking at other things. And
that's a good question.
I don't know if they can do that or not.
I don't know.
I know it's happened on a school board that I've been on, where the board was able to move one. Because again, you don't want to vacate your whole board and have people that are trying to learn all over again.
Well, I looked it up, and if there's no standings order of board member positions on length of those, you can create those moving forward with a motion from the board, as long as it passes with a majority. Because of the convolutedness, we've had open positions, resigned positions, death of a member in office, and assumption of duties, we've just lost those, so we need to recreate those. And in that way, when you run for that office, just like Board Member McCain, he would know coming in that this is a two-year term or this is a four-year term. So we can create that, and it's advised to the Arizona Revised Statutes.
It may not be a bad idea to, so we could see it, print a matrix or something, say in position A, this long, position B, or A, B, and C, or two-year, D, and E, or
sure. I could create that. Yeah.
And is this going to be an ongoing
process? Well, I hope not.
We would hope not.
I hope not. But one of the things it will be is if we don't create a matrix to board member Brady's standpoint, so at least you know what you're running for. To be assumptions, for the unfortunate untimely death, the assumption of resignations, and open position are three things most boards don't see one independent thing like that. We face four within an election cycle.
Probably a good idea. At least you maybe discuss in a work session environment or something. We can address it differently. We'll go ahead and do that for okay. Next item is our next meeting date, regular business meeting, Wednesday, September 16th. Anybody on the board have a problem with that date? You can go as far as why you wouldn't be here. Okay. We'll go with that as it's printed. Agenda items would be due September 7th.
Okay.
And we'll adjourn the meeting at 6:47. And also for the record, the meeting was called to order at 6:01 p.m.
Will everybody please